Our topic right now for this portion of Vocal Point is Finding Hope in Crisis, and our guest is Grace Fox, who speaks at International Women's Events, and she is involved with Proverbs 31 Ministries. By the way, she actually lives on a sailboat in British Columbia, which is in Canada. It's basically north of the state of Washington, California, etc. And Grace, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege.
Sure. All right. Well, my name is Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Grace, tell us about a book. I understand you've written a book called Finding Hope in Crisis.
That's right. The concept had been on my heart for a couple of years, even before the pandemic started. And it's like the timing has just been perfect. I see God's hand all over the time of this book's release. I wrote it with people in mind, people who are going through crisis and whose minds are on overload. It's often a place in our lives where we desperately need encouragement from the Word of God, but we just can't seem to focus on a long passage of Scripture, let alone remember it. Sometimes we can't even remember what day of the week it is. But these are little nuggets just to help people in that place when their minds are on overload.
Okay, good. By the way, you're in a good cell right now, but there were some moments about half a minute ago where it was hard to fully understand you. I was in a conversation this morning in a Bible study, a men's Bible study that we're leading, and one of the persons, actually it was just one-on-one, but the other guy said, you know, without hope, you know, there's no purpose to it. I mean, you got to have hope in everything. Do you feel like people today are losing hope because of the crises?
I think so. I hear story after story from people who are going through hard times, and they are losing hope. I think it was John Maxwell who said something like, we can lose our belongings, we can lose our health, we can even lose loved ones, and we can come back from that loss. But if a man loses hope, there's nothing left to do but bury him.
Whoa.
And that's quite a statement, but it just shows the importance of hope. And hope, I mean, some people think, well, what is it? You know, we hear the definition of hope being is it's an optimistic outlook that what we hope or what we wish to happen will actually happen. But I think as a believer, there's a lot more depth to it. It's actually more like an anticipation of a favorable outcome that's under God's control. And that doesn't mean that the outcome is going to look as good as we wish it would, or it's going to be what we want it to be, but it's going to be favorable in God's eyes.
Hmm. So the God factor is a key.
It totally is. That's what I found from personal experience, too. And scriptures are full of verses that say, my hope is in God alone. It's not in our circumstances. It's not in that our circumstances are going to get better someday. Like with this pandemic, we don't know when it's all going to end. We don't know what that new normal is going to look like. And we don't know what kind of loss and disappointment we're going to go through before it is over. But this we know, that God has not left us. And this is no surprise to him. And he is at work behind the scenes, even when we can't see it or don't understand it.
Give us an example that you can tell us a story of somebody that lacked hope and through the ministry of God's word somehow was able to gain hope by God's grace and not just muddle through, but thrive in the circumstances.
Sure. Well, I'll give you an example from my own life. And it was an experience that changed my life when I was a woman in my 20s. It put me on my head and really caused me to examine what I believed to be true about God and how that affected my life. And it was, I was a young married woman. My husband and I were living in Nepal at the time, and he was working as a civil engineer on a hydro project for a nonprofit Christian organization. So we were living in a little mud hut. 12 hours out of Kathmandu with no electricity, no running water, and a grass thatch roof. It was very difficult, and I struggled with significant culture shock for 2 years until God just did a work in my heart, and we got to where we were not just willing to spend a three-year commitment there and finish that off and go home, but we wanted to spend the rest of our lives doing ministry there. And we had our first child was born there, and everything was fine with that. And then our second child was born, but she was born with a medical condition called hydrocephalus, which is too much water on the brain. When I was 6 months pregnant, our directors had transferred us to a hospital project for my husband to carry on and do a work there that they needed him to do in remodeling. And so I saw God's hand in that later, in that if we had still been in the village when I was 9 months pregnant, our daughter would have died, and I probably would have died too because of needing a C-section to deliver this baby with a very large head. But we were transferred at 6 months, and so she was born at the hospital. So I C-section, but then the doctor said she needs to have a shunt put in her head in order to drain all the excess fluid, and we can't do that here. So you need to go back to North America on the first available flight. So that was a Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, we tried to get tickets, and every airline, well, there was only one airline at that point flying, you know, the soonest flight overseas back to North America was going to be on the Friday. And that airline said that they would not issue a ticket for me because they counted me a medical high risk. And so wow. I was left behind, and my husband wrapped up our baby when she was 3 days old. He left Kathmandu with a bottle of express breast milk and a diaper bag and a baby wrapped in a blanket and took her back to Seattle. And
so he was able to get the flight, but you couldn't.
Right. I couldn't go. I had to stay behind for another week.
Yeah.
And so when I was laying there on the bed, you know, crying after they left, because I didn't know if I'd see my daughter alive again or not. And I said to the Lord, I've been here for 2 years, went through significant culture shock for those first 2 years, and now I'm ready to stay. Like, what was that? And what is it that you're trying to teach me through this? I don't get it. Just tell me something. Tell me. And into that moment, just as I lay there and cried, he spoke to me with the words from the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. He reminded me that he would be faithful, and the scriptures are full of promises about his faithfulness. And I remember thinking in that dark time when I could have lost all hope, it was a case of he wasn't promising me that everything was going to just get better all of a sudden. He didn't promise me that my daughter was going to live or that she'd have a great quality of life if she did, but he did promise me that he would be faithful no matter what. And that was a biblical truth that I chose to stand on. It was a very rough 2 years for my daughter. And she had almost a dozen surgeries, and she had meningitis when she was 11 months old, but she's in her mid-30s now and doing well. But not everybody's story ends happy like that. But God is faithful, even if our story doesn't end the way we wish. But, you know, I could have lost hope right there in on that bed or any other time during the next 2 years, because it was a rough, rough go.
So even back in the United States with the child, with the conditions and everything, that was rough. But your main point is during that week when you were all alone, you found solace and hope in God.
I did. And I remember back then there was a poster that I had seen. It was a poster of a little kitten with a rope hanging down and a knot tied at the end. And here's the kitten with its little claws dug into that rope at the end. And it said something on the poster about when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. And I just felt like that little kitten, that was me. I'd come to the end of my rope. We knew that back in North America, we had no house, no job for my husband. We had no medical insurance, and now we were going to have a baby in a NICU ward of American Hospital. So do the math, right? Like, we had all the makings of a perfect storm, and I was that kitten holding on to that knot at the end of the rope, and what enabled me to hang on was hope that God had not forgotten about our family, that none of this was a surprise to him, and that ultimately there would be a favorable outcome because he was in control. It might not be what I thought it should look like, but he was in control, and he would care for every detail for our good and for his glory.
Was there a particular passage of scripture that really helped you through the crisis?
I don't recall a specific verse at that time, but it was the principle of God's faithfulness. And there are so many places in the Psalms where the psalmist would talk about the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God, like in Lamentations even, where it talks about the faithfulness of God being new every morning. Where I live on a sailboat, we live on the Fraser River. And even now as I'm talking to you, I can look out my window over the river and I see where the sun comes up every morning.
Wow.
And sometimes these sunrises are absolutely stunning. And I just, to me, that's just a visual of those verses in Lamentations that talk about God's faithfulness new every morning. We don't wake up in the morning scraping the bottom of the barrel of his faithfulness of whatever was left over from the day before. His supply is fresh every morning, and we can count on that.
That's neat. So you went, I'm sure you saw some snakes in Kathmandu or whatever, and then you went from that to where now maybe you see on occasion some whales.
Oh, we do, yeah. Every once in a while, we're able to take our boat out maybe five times throughout a course of a year. We might be able to go out on the coastal waters between the mainland and Vancouver Island, and there are whales, and it's stunning, absolutely stunning to see these creatures in their natural environment. Yeah, again, I look at those, and I go, wow, and I look at the power of God. I mean, God created these whales in this environment in which they are right now, and this is the God who loves us. This is the God who pursues us and wants relationship with us.
Now, and what is Proverbs 31 Ministries?
Proverbs 31 is a ministry that is worldwide. Lisa Turquist is the president of it, and the mission is to eradicate biblical illiteracy. And so they've got an app called First Five. It's a free app where there is a Bible study lesson every morning. And on the weekend, there's audio teaching that complements the week's teaching. So I am one of those writers for those Bible studies.
Cool.
But they also have devotions called Encouragement for Today. And they do group Bible studies as well online. So it reaches, I'm safe to say, millions of women around the world.
Wow.
With the Word of God.
That's neat. I am very appreciative of Proverbs chapter 31 because I feel like every time I read it, I'm reading about Kirsty Newcomb, my wife. I mean, she really is. She's described so well there. I like that name, Proverbs 31 Ministries. That's really neat. All right, we have about a minute left. What else do you want to say that we haven't said about finding hope in today's world where there's a lot of hopelessness?
I just want to say to your listeners that if they are in a place of feeling hopeless, that they don't have to go this alone, to find a friend, a trusted friend, and ask that friend to pray with them or to call a church. There are, you know, a good Bible-believing church. There will be people there that can pray for them. I would say when their mind goes into a fearful place, put on some praise and worship music. I often do that. I'll put in my earphones and I'll go for a walk because exercise is good too, right? We are multifaceted people and we do need exercise too to help stay well and healthy. And then write scripture promises on recipe cards or post-it notes and stick them where you can see them often. So when the mind starts going into that dark place, counteract it with the truth.
Excellent. All right. And people can get more information at gracefox.com, gracefox.com. Grace Fox, thanks so much for joining us again. The name of her book is Finding Hope in Crisis.
Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye now.